The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Continue a little bit with the theme that I talked about earlier. There is a balance to be found between what you offer the practice and what you allow for, what you do to practice and what the practice does to you. And some people actually prefer not to use the expression, you know, that I'm practicing meditation, but rather they prefer to say, I'm being practiced. It's because there's this idea of that something inside of us will begin to unfold if we get out of the way, if we allow for it. And I don't know if it's peculiar to our Western society, but there's a lot of people who are very fixated on taking personal responsibility for every possible thing. And it's all up to them, and they have to make the effort, and they have to be successful, and they have to be good, and they have to avoid, and they have to get rid of, and they have to fix. And so in terms of the balance between what we have to offer the practice and what the practice has to offer us, they err on the side of making too much effort, trying too hard. And I can tell you, there's all these wonderfully gory war stories on retreats especially, of people who strived too much. The striving and expectation and wanting to have something. And inevitably, in that particular war, it's you that loses. It's the practitioner that loses. And so, you know, making too much, some people err too much on that side. And certainly some people err too much on the side of allowing. Oh, it's not about me, it's just trusting life and reality, getting out of the way, let it just move through me, and everything's okay, and they just, you know, I did that for a while in my practice, and I just fell asleep most of the time. You know, I was, you know, always nodding and nodding, and it was just complacency. And other people let their mind drift a lot. So there are people who hear our teachings, our instructions, and take it to be just let everything, just be mindful, let everything be. And they interpret that to be just let their mind continue to think whatever they're thinking, and just kind of somehow ride on the tail of your of the horse, you know, or let the horse gallop off and just hold on to the tail, and then it's okay. So your mind gallops off in thought, and you're somehow connected, right? You're kind of there, but you're holding on by the tail. And that's not, you know, that's not practice either. So you can be too allowing, you can be too much trying to do something, but how to find that right balance of what we have to offer, what we do, and what, you know, what we allow something to happen. And so I like the word trust. We trust the Dharma unfolding. Some people use the word confidence. Some people use the word wisdom as important, to have wisdom of how things work. And one tradition in Buddhism is to emphasize karma, to have the wisdom of understanding how karma works. And karma has to do with putting in place the conditions that allow what's optimal to move through you, to occur. So if you spend your day stealing from work and from your friends and from your neighbors, and stealing is like what you do, that doesn't create very optimal conditions to sit down and meditate and open up and allow and have a good time. And my teacher in Burma, he was very fond of telling us stories of people who came to meditate at a center, do retreats, who had been involved in some of the fighting that used to happen, still happens in Burma. But there used to be these independence fighters who were trying to fight for independence from Burma, and then the Burmese army was fighting them. And he said people on both sides would retire from fighting, and they would come be monks or come to meditate in his monastery. And he would love to describe, tell stories of what their meditation was like. Or once he told a story about a butcher, a person who spent his career being a butcher, and then what his meditation was like. And always there was a happy ending. But they had to go through a tremendous amount of coming to terms with what they had done, the killing, the torturing, the whatever they had to do. That karma was still with them. And so they had to work through that, and it was a wild ride as they did that. So hopefully none of you are involved in those kinds of activities, but there's probably regular activities some people in our society are involved in. It's not uncommon for people to come to me and talk about some of the addictive patterns and involvements that they're involved in. And so alcohol or drugs or buying or eating, or maybe because of the internet, I don't know why, but I get more and more people coming, talking to me about their problems with pornography. And it's really debilitating for some people. And so, the karma of that, sit down to meditate, and the momentum of that being drained and being challenged and being caught and giving in to your desires, there's karma involved. Karma in the sense that it sets habits, it sets conditioning, it creates memories, it kind of doesn't create good conditions for what's, what can happen, And then on the opposite side, we can put the conditions that allow us to feel good about ourselves. We can do those kinds of things. Then when we sit down to meditate, those condition us in a good way. And the classic one in Buddhism is to practice generosity, to wise generosity. But to do generous things, not just because it's good to do in and of itself, but because it creates karmically, or karma just means it creates the consequences in ourselves, in our hearts, in our minds, in our conditioning, in our habits, in our memories, that when they come up, are there to nourish us, support us. You feel happy. You don't feel worried and anxious and bad about yourself. And so there's a whole series of things that Buddhism suggests that we do that create good conditions, create good karma, good conditions, so that we have this reservoir within us. Then when we sit down and open up, sit down and allow what's in there to move through us, that what's in there is beneficial for us rather than being harmful for us. Either way, when you sit down to meditate, if you have this difficult karma in your background, it can be very, very helpful to make space for that difficulty to arise and surface. And in the Buddhist tradition, we talk sometimes about meditation can be purifying. So it's a purification process. One of the biggest manuals, meditation manuals in our tradition, that was written in the 5th century, big fat book, is called The Path of Purification. So so sometimes we have to learn how to sit with these difficult energies, difficult feelings, and let them move through us so they can be purified, let them move out. And so part of the wisdom is to know, I have to live with my karma, and I have to now not escape it, not run away, not deny it, but I have to give time for it to work itself out, and I'm going to sit here and just be with it and feel this. And it's my karma, it's my consequence of how I lived, that now I have to purify this, work through this. But then if you create the conditions that allow for a healthy inner sense of being, then when you sit down to meditate, that is available for you, and that kind of supports you and goes on. And part of this teaching of karma is aiming at the importance of not creating more of it. Negative karma. So if a lot of difficulty arises when you sit and meditate, you don't want to be critical. You don't want to be angry at yourself. You don't want to be hateful. You don't want to get discouraged, or you don't want to get caught up in strong desire. You want to kind of be mindful of it in an allowing and open way. And there's something very, very, very powerful. I can't underscore how powerful it is to take this posture, or a chair is fine, sit still, sit upright in a, moderately dignified posture, and don't move. Don't give in to anything. And not moving means you don't give in to anything. But you also don't deny anything. Something about this posture, you're kind of relatively open in the chest, you're present, you're upright, and you allow whatever is in there to be there. That's the allowing part, but you don't get involved in it. So one way to get involved, it would be to collapse. Ugh, poor me. Poor me. Oh, it's so hard. Oh, it's so hard. Oh, I don't know if I can do this. You know, that then you're involved, right? If you might feel like you want to do that. Tremendous energy inside of you to collapse. But you're committed to not moving. And so you don't move. It might be hard. It takes a lot. You might break out into sweat. I've known people who have broken into sweat by not moving. It can be difficult because of this powerful energy that's inside. But it's something very freeing and very meaningful to let this move and move through and not get involved. And sometimes there are very pleasant energies that arise, very beautiful things that arise, feelings of love and joy. And then the art of this is to relate to that the same way. Upright, dignified, allowing it to be there, but don't give into it. Don't start going, this is great. I should tell my friends. I think if I'll just open, I'll go out on the streets of Redwood City now and, you know, I'll just kind of like smile and open my heart. It'll be so great and I'll be the saint of Redwood City. And the mind goes off. That's getting involved, right? But the idea is not to be, just let it be. So we create conditions and we live our lives, hopefully, in ways that create the beneficial conditions to support us. When we sit down to practice, we have that support. So how you live your life is very important in Buddhism. So we care for how we live our lives, behavior. And then when we sit down to meditate, we know that we begin to learn over time the difference between being involved and entangled, interfering with what's there, and leaving things alone. And we learn how to, that one of the conditions we have to contribute to is to be present. So you have to come back and be here. This whole thing of allowing, it doesn't work if you're not present. So you have to be here. So Jack Kornfield loved to quote this, he did it over and over again, quote this sign that someone saw in Las Vegas. You have to be present to win. So you have to be present. So you have to do the work to be present. That's your contribution. And then your contribution is to be present in an equanimous way, in a dignified way, in an upright way, in a kind of unmoving way. Upright, unmoving, present. So you have to do your part. You have to relax. Relax your belly, relax your shoulders. You have to do your part. But don't take too much responsibility. So you're doing your part mostly to get out of the way. And once you're out of the way in a good, effective way, then you can start trusting the unfolding of what goes on. You can trust the unfolding of what's difficult when it arises. You can trust the unfolding of what's really wonderful as you're sitting here. But you can trust the Dharma, trust the heart, trust what needs to move through you. And that's the balance. So, and where you find yourself in that balance, in that spectrum, varies from day to day. Sometimes more effort is needed from your part, sometimes less effort is needed. But it's good to know this principle, that we're looking for the balance, that both things are needed. Don't take too much responsibility, don't take too little responsibility. Is that good? So,